we are seeing DEXs on Solana surpassing Ethereum DEXs, at least for a couple of days. Do you think you've underestimated Solana up to this point, Dave? Bonkless Nation, welcome to the fourth week of March. Yeah, David, wow. I said it. This is the Bonkless podcast today.
If you are a listener in the state of California, this is the Bonkless podcast. If you are a listener anywhere else, welcome to the Bankless podcast, where we cover the entire weekly news in crypto, which is always an ambitious endeavor. Why are we Bonkless in California?
Well, California made us change our name. Mm. And there's a very good reason for this in the state of California is apparently in that state, anything, any brand name, any company name with bank, anywhere inside of it, either a prefix, a suffix, somewhere inside the name itself, that's illegal. You cannot do that in California.
Unless we have like a banking license, which we don't.
Yes. And the reason for this is a very, very good reason, is we could be tricking people. Mm. People who see Bankless in California could think that we are actually a bank.
They might mistake us for a bank.
Yes. And they might start depositing funds into the account.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we might be swindling them. We might be defrauding them. So this is to protect the citizens.
Solana pre-sales, I think that actually is a pretty likely event, actually.
Guys, this is actually a true story. This is real.
Yeah.
They keep sending letters to my house, by the way, David. They will not stop, even though we have officially... California sent us a cease and desist, said you can't be bankless. We went back to them and we're like, but like, we're not a bank. We're not pretending to be a bank. And oh, by the way, what are you going to do with food banks?
Yeah.
Did
you ask them that?
Our lawyers did. What about this? Look at this. River Bank LLC. River Bank. There's 187 infringers with bank in River Bank. What are they going to do with blood banks? What are they going to do with sperm banks, David?
Wow.
They got to change all of it.
These are important questions.
Yeah. It's a blood bank now.
Just like how we are complete frauds and we do indeed have a bank account, we also have bank as well. Well, at least
okay,
I
do. I didn't know this.
Yeah. These are actually not company funds. These are David Hoffman funds. When I bought my Mad Lad, I got the bank airdrop on Solana for bonk. And so I actually am not bonkless like the grifter I am.
So now I do feel like kind of low integrity here in like renaming our company to bonkless because I didn't realize that one of us had
one
bonk,
of us had
actually.
Has bonk. Yeah.
See, I am legitimately bonkless. I have no bonk. No, and I'm very sad about that, actually. I would have loved some bonk right now.
sorry about it. But yeah, your boy's got bonk. Sold my Mad Lad though.
All right. Should we get in the box this weekly roll-up then, David? Let's stop talking about California.
Over the last 7 days, the market crashed, which is why you never invest in Bitcoin, because it always crashes at least 6 or 7 or 8 times throughout a bull market. And we just had our first one. So is this the end? And we'll talk about that. Solana meme coin pre-sale meta. Over $100 million in SOL was sent to meme coin pre-sales over the last month or so. Unrelated, but also definitely related. Solana all-time high. What else we got, Ren?
We got the blobs. We got to go check in on the blobs, see how they're doing. And maybe these blobs are actually triggering a base season, the L2 base, you know, Coinbase's L2.
Yep.
Getting real cheap over there. Also, David, huge, huge, huge breaking. BlackRock is on chain. BlackRock has a token.
Which chain are they on, Ryan?
We can't share everything here, David. We got to get into the episode, all right? This is why people listen. This is why people listen to the commercials. And also, is the Ethereum Foundation being investigated by the SEC, David? That was a headline this week, if you can believe it.
Unreal. There is a bunch of shenanigans that happened all throughout this week, so we're going to cover that and more here on the Bankless Weekly Rollup. But first,
you said Bankless.
Oh, God. The Bankless Weekly Rollup, if you're a listener in the state of California. But first, there's also the Bonkless premium feed that is available on Spotify, too. There's going to be 5 ads in this show, but 0 if you are listening on the Bankless premium feed for Bankless citizens. You also get the debriefs, extra episodes, the research episodes that I'm doing with technical co-hosts that we're only putting on the premium feed. You also get 30% off of permission lists, which is in October 9th through 11th, Salt Lake City. 30% off if you are a Bankless citizen. There's going to be a crypto tax AMA from the tax people inside of the Bankless Discord, also for citizens. The value of Bankless citizenship, Bonkless citizenship, is up only. So click the link in the show notes, bankless.com/join. Get 10% off. You can become a citizen straight through Spotify. Spotify 24, 10% off. Become a citizen through Spotify. Click the link in the show notes.
David, are you dialed into this Spotify Bonkless premium feed? Because it is freaking awesome.
I actually do not have that loaded up on my phone. I use the Apple iOS, but I should.
Really? You should switch over to Spotify. Okay. It's way better. And also, I'm very excited to see Spotify Citizen Wrapped at the end of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Your Spotify wraps. I'm going to see how many hours our citizens get in particular. It's going to be fun. I'm going to beat you this year, too. I listen to our episodes.
you listen to every single Bankless podcast?
They're great. Every single one.
All right, let's go ahead and get right into the markets. Thank you, Kraken, for telling us all about the state of the markets right now. Bitcoin down 6.5% on the week. Just a huge sell-off. Start of the week is $71,300, ending the current week at $66,900. Why did we sell off? Why did we go down? We never go down. Why did we go down?
I feel like you're not taking this sell-off seriously enough, David. It's now at 66 at the time of recording. It got almost like down into the 50s.
Wow.
For Bitcoin. We got down to like 61K, something like that. And there was a little bit of like panic. I'll call it minor panic. Because
Were you panicked, Ryan?
Well, I was not panicked. No. As a listener of the Bonkless podcast, I do not get panicked by these events. I just took this one in stride. I wasn't worried about it at all.
Naturally.
But a lot of people were. Maybe people thought it was all over.
You know,
give us some reasons.
Hit the double top on Bitcoin. Like we hit 69,000 last cycle. We hit 73,000 last cycle. And you know what? That's all Bitcoin had in it. You know,
all bull markets come to an end.
You know, they all come to an end sometime. So you know, we're down to $63,000. You know, like, we got a lot further to go before we hit zero.
Can you explain why? Give us some reasons to help us all feel better about this.
Because markets go down and they also go up. Here's actually, like, all joking aside, here's what I think happened. What is going on is right now, people on the margins, price is discovered on the margins. And when we saw a decreasing flows into the Bitcoin ETFs this week, they were
That
did happen. Flows were very strong last week and they were weaker this week. And so people who are pricing Bitcoin on the margins had to readjust their expectations of flows because the trajectory of flows changed this week to be decreasing a little bit, which we would totally expect to happen. And so as a result of the decreasing flows, there was a shift in expectations of the future price of Bitcoin. And so the buyers stopped buying and they actually started selling once they saw the flows happening. And so, like, you know, this just recorrected Bitcoin on future different expectations as to the state of flows going into the future. The thing is, these people who are pricing Bitcoin on the margins are pricing in what they think is fair for the future. But then they're just front running the opportunity. So like the flows will actually produce the expected price in the future inevitably. They are just pricing in a difference in time. And so the people who are pricing Bitcoin, the margins, the traders, the people on leverage, said that, you know what, $73,000 is too far into the future to price this thing because the flows are slowing down. So we're selling. And then it sold down to $63,000. As soon as flows pick back up again, people will price in a more bullish future. Or you can also just wait, and like that $73,000 will not become the future; it'll become the present. Like the fundamentals will actually be realized. This is what happened.
I feel like you're telling me nothing to be worried about.
Yeah, just wait longer, and the future expectations will become reality. Like people are pricing in flows, expectation flows in the future. Then flows happen, and then price is realized. Does that make sense?
I think so, but I feel like we're on some sort of a flywheel here of like, you know, cause effect, and it's
of course,
just like,
so yeah, markets are a hall of mirrors. Okay, markets are a hall of mirrors.
This is how Jesse Echtel put it: there are bearish sell-offs and there are bullish sell-offs. Mm-hmm. This is clearly a bullish sell-off. It's flushing out the leverage and putting some healthy fear into the markets. Markets crawl up a wall of worry. We resume the climb soon. You agree with this?
100%. Yeah, we're saying the same thing. In all bull markets that we have ever seen, there have been very regular 20 to 40% sell-offs. Expect them. This was the first one. We went so long without one of these. Like, it was pretty crazy how long we've gone without a 30 to 40% sell-off. Like, it's been since the bull market started. This was the first one. And so, like, people kind of forgot that markets go down because we're just used to these, like, flows, which are also going to like legitimately push us up only, but we are still, it doesn't matter if you can be up only because the frontier, the margins of Bitcoin will be priced at the maximum level of risk. There's like some efficient frontier of risk being priced in here. And so like, yeah, this is the first. Bitcoin actually was only down from peak to trough, Ryan, 17%. From if you measure it, the absolute peak.
Oh, so we didn't even get our 30 to 40% drop.
Yeah, like it's between like 20 and 40, like 30% has been the average. But Bitcoin is like, it's the biggest mover. It has the most bids. Like the fact that we only went down 17% is extremely bullish.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we bullish go down sell even off. More, but like I kind of think it's over. Yeah.
You think it's over?
I think we are resume up only now. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, uh-huh. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, just because we should expect these 20 to 40% drops all the time, and this didn't even hit 20%. So, like, this doesn't even feel like
Bitcoin
a drop to
didn't
me.
Hit 20%. ETH did hit 25%. ETH peak to trough is 25%.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, this kind of thing happens during infinite bull markets here. Let's talk about ETH, by the way. So the Kraken Pro charts once again showing us the price of ETH.
Engulfing candle. Mm. Oh, what are you looking at? 4 hour candles? Yeah. Oh no, one day candles. Wow. Yeah. So like 1 day candles.
Can I go 4 hour?
No, that's fine. ETH started the week $3,800, down 9%. Current price $3,540. No, excuse me, $3,480. It's about $3,500.
You know that SEC investigating the Ethereum Foundation didn't seem to affect the price of ETH very much. We'll get more on that in a little bit, but interesting to observe here.
It gave ETH some volatility, but not some bearish price action.
How about the ratio here, ETH Bitcoin?
Yeah, the ratio doesn't look great. Checking it's at 0.053. Yeah.
Ethereum hasn't had its moment this bull.
Okay, well, because everyone is taking Bitcoin exposure because the whole market like it is in the middle of accepting flows from like everywhere, TradFi. Yeah. And ETH is like, it's just not in the meta because like, why would you buy ETH right now when like the Bitcoin is currently getting the bid and all the meme coins are on Solana? Like ETH is just patiently waiting its turn. Like the traders will get there at some point in time when the ETH ETF like finally gets priced in. But even if it is getting approved in May, which like there's uncertainty and maybe like we finally saw the last nail in the coffin for the approval. There are some like ETH ETF approval holdouts who still think it's getting approved. But like, I think it just doesn't matter. Like once the ETH ETF gets priced in to ETH, it is just going to be like a gargantuan movement because of how price sensitive ETH is.
Between now and then, we could just continue to trade meme coins, right?
Right.
And,
like, we can just trade meme coins.
Why
would I be in ETH? Yeah.
That's the short term look at it.
Would I be in ETH? So I'm farming eigenlayers. Why are
you in ETH? Zoom out. Okay. Total crypto market cap, just to talk about it for a second, 2.65 trillion or less than 3 trillion. Have not hit all time high total crypto market cap. Oh, have we? No, almost. Did we?
No.
Real close.
No.
You would know, David, because I know on this show, you're the only person who gets to decide whether we hit an all-time high or not.
Finally, you're with it.
So tell me, David, did we hit a Solana all-time high? We got to talk about that because it looks like we did.
No, we hit a Solana market cap all-time high. Solana, the asset, the actual SOL token, is still pretty far off of all-time high because of the issuance of the Solana network, of which we have discussed plenty of times.
You know what? In my book, because I get to say here too, in my book, market cap all-time high is all-time high. And because it's the most legitimate all-time high because it's the total value of your actual network. And
it's network all-time high. Sure.
Network all-time high. And that is the one to pay attention to because it contains all of the sort of inflation, the increased supply and the dilution. I think it's a big moment for Solana.
Yeah, I agree.
Can we go through some other stats here? So look at this. Solana peaks in popularity. This is search engine traffic, interest over time. It's like absolutely spiking. This is, you'll find this interesting, Solana managed to flip Ethereum for 24-hour trading volume.
Happened just last week. All of the meme coins are on Solana.
Not just that. Look at this. If you zoom out, it's even more impressive. This looks like a TVL volume absolutely spiking into 2024. Mm-hmm. And other things. Number of new addresses, 1.16 million new addresses on Solana in March. Total fees on Solana, we'll get back to this in a second, 5 million. In March 2024, that's transaction fees,
that's
total active addresses.
That's not much.
Solana is just up only, David.
Okay, so like the whole repricing of Solana from $20 SOL up to like $100 SOL in December of this year was pricing in the future of basically this, like the retail coming in, experiencing the UX and the cheap fees of Solana and be like, yeah, this is the place where I'm going to buy meme coins. And so, like, honestly, congrats to all the SOL holders who listen to this podcast, of which I'm sure there are just thousands, who held Solana through the bear market and, like, had the conviction to ride this wave all the way up. And also congrats to the people who haven't sold SOL yet. You're like, wow.
Yeah, there was a flippening as well in the App Store. So Phantom briefly flippened MetaMask.
And Phantom is the Solana wallet,
It's a primary wallet for Solana. One thing that impresses me most, because this is actually a fundamentals metric. Now, of course, this has just recently happened, so it has to happen over a longer period of time. But this is actually impressive. Solana is selling blocks. Mm-hmm. Okay, what do blockchains sell? Blockchains sell blocks. This is a chart of fee revenue. Solana fee revenue over the past 7 days. I took this earlier.
Wow, it's actually registering.
It's surpassed Bitcoin fee revenue.
Okay, this is $300,000. Wow.
Yep, this is 7 days, and they got almost 20 million. It's behind Tron still, but not too far behind Tron. Definitely behind
Ethereum. One half of Tron.
This impresses me actually because this is. Transaction fees, and by the way, there's no like priority fee on Solana that's active right now. So if you pay extra, this is my understanding of things. If you pay extra, like you're not actually getting your fee ahead of your transaction ahead of everyone else's. So I don't know, like people are paying for transactions, but the priority fee might be included in this, and it's just really not doing anything for users at this point in time. And I think, David, credit is actually due for that. I did not see this coming as quickly. We'll see if they can sustain it, but it's impressive to me as somebody who looks at these kind of fundamentals.
Yeah, I wonder how much the fees showing up here on the chart is due to Solana MEV, because that's where a lot of the transaction, not demand, because like the MEV follows actual real usage. And so because there's so much like meme coin trading on Solana, there's a lot of slippage. Like people are getting bitten into by MEV from like slippage on Solana. And that's generating like demand for congestion pricing, for contention pricing. So people really need to get that transaction in first. And so I'm guessing it's the fees aren't necessarily being paid by like meme coin traders, but they're being paid by MEV bots trying to capture the slippage on like Jupiter or whatever, any exchange aggregator.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's the case.
I mean, the Solana ecosystem right now is like focused on understanding its own economics, its own like fee markets, and that's kind of like the frontier of like Solana research right now. It has been like that for a while.
Let me ask you: do you think that you have underestimated Solana up to this point? And are you surprised? We've got the fee revenue that we just saw. Mm-hmm. We saw active users. We saw Phantom Wallet flipping. We are seeing DEXs on Solana surpassing Ethereum DEXs, at least for a couple of days. Do you think you've underestimated Solana up to this point, David?
I can't really remember if I had like estimations of Solana generally. Like I've always been open to all possible futures. I have my like critiques of the architecture of Solana and the choices that they've made fundamentally, but the success that Solana is seeing is not something I've really ever like counted out. Honestly, just like congrats to the people that believed in the thesis and stuck around, because they are definitely like rich now.
True. I want to say, I think I didn't think that Solana was going to die. I knew it was going to come back. I am surprised, and I did not anticipate how quickly it would come back.
Yeah.
And with such ferocity, I didn't know that it would get kind of the next bull market kind of meta. Right now it's sort of this index fund of meme coins, and I think that's a narrative that's drawing it higher, but like there's actually some underlying truth here. Uh-huh. This is more than memes. There's innovation around VM parallelization, which I think I've discounted in the past, and just UX that people can use in the here and now.
Yeah.
And I think I've been slower to appreciate the value of that. I do think that the rest of the chains and the rest of the community and layer twos are not that far behind, if they are even behind at this point in time. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's a durable advantage, but I will say probably 18 months ago, I underestimated that they would come back so quickly and so fiercely.
Solana came back in 2023, 2024 faster than Ethereum came back after it crashed in 2017 and came back in 2021. Like, if you go look at the Solana chart, it is like two vertical lines. First one down during like 2022 and FTX, and then one vertical up starting December of this year.
Yeah. It's actually impressive from a mm-hmm. price perspective. Not to say there aren't issues. And I know right. you are someone who points out the good things of Solana and also some things that like need improvement, certainly. Mm-hmm. And one of them is this. What is this chart that we're looking at?
Yeah, this is the current problem on Solana. This is the current thing, the current issue, which is the Solana transaction fail rate. 70% of transactions don't go through on Solana. And like I've been watching some like of these like TikToks of like showing people how to buy meme coins on Solana.
And like hit the button like five times.
Like inside of the TikTok where they're like, hey, you know, buy Zen coin on Phantom Wallet. Here, download the Phantom app, blah, blah, blah. Like get MoonPay. You're going to get wrecked by fees. Sorry. And then get your soul on Solana. Oh, and then you go and you try and buy this token. Oh, and then it's not going to go through. If it doesn't go through, just hit it a few more times until it does. And so when people are like shilling their meme coins, they're like, you have to just like, if it doesn't go through, just hit buy like four or five more times and then it'll just go through. So this is the current like issue in Solana. This is actually from like networking stuff. There's so much spam on Solana because that's what you get when you get low fees. People are also just like spamming, trying to get their MEV bots in. That like there's so many transactions that are just like being contested and conflicting. Apparently, it's like a networking thing. I don't understand it.
This is a chart showing that 70% of transactions don't make it through at least the first time. And I'm like, it seems to have increased since Jito stopped the mempool.
Yes,
as well.
Right. Yeah, because Jito was like solving this issue, and then because of the whole like slippage MEV bots that Jito wanted to like be hands off on, all of that has now gone back into the global Solana, just like not mempool. I don't even know what they call their mempool equivalent, because Solana doesn't have a mempool, but like the transactions that are going into the chain.
So let's talk about one of the drivers for this, which is memes and meme coins. So in particular, there's been a recent meta that has been kind of like a little alarming, I would say, which is like,
it's very reminiscent of the ICO era.
Yeah. Meme coins plus pre-sales. Let's just combine those two things together. What could go wrong?
The worst two possible things. Let's put them together.
Combine ICOs and memes. Wow. Okay, so tell us about this. What is going on in meme coin pre-sales?
So inside of a apparently 48-hour window, over $100 million in SOL was sent to meme coin pre-sales. And so for people who weren't around in the ICO era, you would send your ETH into this ICO contract, and then once the ICO was over, once the sale was over, it would spit you back out a token. And that you would get like a token this way. And these were also very hotly contested. It's one of the first
pre-launch.
Pre-launch,
the team needed to raise capital in order to do the work to like realize the idea, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the whole ICO mania was honestly a crazy time in Ethereum. They were all unregistered securities, to be honest. And once all of the token issuers realized that, then like the whole entire movement ground to a stop. The crazy thing about this is they're meme coins. And so like there's literally no promise to build anything. It's literally just a meme, because that is the thing that is like making the rounds in Solana. There's this Book of Meme Bohm coin that went from zero to a $1 billion market cap inside of like 2 days. And so now like this whole like euthanasia roller coaster is like taking on, and like people are like spiraling out of control with it, because like if you can make one meme coin that went to $1 billion, surely you can do it again. And so like the demand for meme coins is through the roof. The difference with the ICO mania, Ryan, versus what's happening on the Solana pre-sale meme coin meta, is that they aren't like making a smart contract on Solana that issues a token. They are taking in Solana, and then they are manually distributing the token out to the people who sent the SOL later without any sort of smart contract involved.
Why do you need money up front? It's a trust me, bro,
meme coin sale.
Why do you need money up front in order to launch a meme coin? It requires almost like no work.
Because
no effort.
The soul, like if I'm sure not all of the meme coins do this, but the soul gets turned into an LP token. So the person who makes the meme coin takes the soul, mints the meme coin, turns it into a liquidity providing token, like on the Solana AMM. And so there's liquidity for the meme coin day one, which is why this works. Oh, so it's so not
the thing they're bootstrapping, the capital liquidity. That they need is liquidity.
Is liquidity.
And
yeah.
It's going to like ideally pump the bags faster.
In theory, yeah. It's like some sort of like investor protection because they know that they can immediately exit as soon as the meme coin is launched. Like the meme coin launches at like roughly an equivalent price of what people went in and sold. But then once you launch with liquidity, you can go to like Twitter or your Telegram chat rooms or your like your alpha and like you shill it to your friends trying to get them to buy the liquidity that you produced. And then you have the meme coin of and then, you know, the token goes up.
OK, so did I see a story, by the way, of somebody like who received funds from a presale, like deleting $10 million worth of funds, like accidentally sending it to the wrong address or somehow mishandling the keys, and like losing $10 million of presale?
So that LP token that I was talking about, one of them, Slurf, I think that actually is number three on that.
Oh, this is it. Slurf.
If you go back to the Jack XBT, it's the number three largest meme coin presale. So how much did they raise? They raised 54,000 SOL. So multiply that by like basically $200.
For Slurf coin?
For Slurf coin, yeah.
Okay.
And then so here's this now famous tweet that will echo out throughout the bull market. Slurf SOL tweets out, "Guys, I effed up. I burned the LP and the tokens that were set aside for the airdrop.
Slurf.
Mint authority is already revoked, so I cannot mint them. There is nothing I can do to fix this. I am so effing sorry." 5,000 likes. Wow.
As long as he's sorry, David. As long as he's sorry.
You know what? People reported this to the FBI. And so So there is like a report that the like DGens and Solana took this to the FBI and put this on the FBI like tip website. And so now there's like a FBI report out.
Oh my God, FBI pursuing meme coin creators. Like, I guess the question is, did this person really mishandle the funds or are they hiding somewhere? I'm sure you could track all of this on chain. David, this blows my mind. The only group of people I think who could like go for this are people who did not live through the ICO mania of 2017.
Yeah.
And like first cyclers. This has got to be first cyclers. I have to believe.
For sure, bro. Like okay. when I saw this, you know, that whole meme of just like that like dog with 1,000-yard stare, like as like the Vietnam helicopters like fly by.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw something, I was like, oh, it's the ICO mania. Yeah, I don't want this.
That's why I'm not getting worried about it at all. I'm just like, oh, they're gonna, you know, like the same mistakes and the same things are going to play out again and again and again. Why? Because every generation, like, they have to learn the mistake. They can't learn from previous cycles because they weren't here, so they'll have to learn on their own. So this is why we repeat these exact same things. Cycles, ICOs, scams, like, oops, I lost my keys, like FBI. It's gonna repeat. And I used to get it bothered about this. Hey, everyone, stop trading.
Stop being dumb. Be smart instead.
And it's just it's yelling into the wind. Like we could say on here, and in fact, let's just say this. Guys, don't engage in like pre-sale meme coins. You're probably going to lose your money. It's probably not going to work. Or sometimes it'll work, but like a lot of times it won't be very careful.
It is a gamble and it is a game that you are playing.
But who cares? No one, like the people who need that advice are not listening to us. They are on TikTok. They are somewhere else.
It's actually going to make money for people. Like the meme coins are generally going up except for the ones that die, which you don't know.
So why can't you be happy about that, David? Why can't Bankless be happy about that?
Well, we'll like return at the end of this bull market when like every single meme coin is at zero and everyone is making money right now.
I know.
And in the future, they're like not going to make money. But right now it's fine because everyone's having fun and number is going up. Once number stops going up, it's going to stop being fun. But until then, we are boomers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Everyone has to learn for themselves. So I am much more zen about it. And lastly here, we got to remember, of course, Solana is only a toddler, like just barely out of like toddlerhood. It's 4 years old. And
happy fourth birthday to Solana.
Fourth birthday to Solana, all who celebrate. I guess that happened in March.
The first Solana block happened in March 4 years ago. 276 billion transactions. I wonder if they count votes, which they shouldn't.
You had to slip that in, didn't you, David?
Votes aren't transactions.
No one cares. It's a bull market. let's keep moving. Let's talk about the blobs, all right?
Okay.
Talk about the blobs. Enough with the memes and to the blobs.
As we start this section, Ryan, we have a pop quiz brought to you by Mantle, our new consumer of blobs. Pop quiz. Class is now in session. What does blob stand for?
What does blob stand for?
What does blob stand for? Blobs are a technical term.
They have the technical term, like the Ethereum dev
term? This is not just us being like cutesy with our naming nomenclature. This is a term that came before Ethereum.
Bitcoin likes our blobs. How about that?
Bitcoin likes our blobs.
Our blobs.
Ding, 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 ding. You nailed it.
Am I right?
Blobs stands for binary large object.
Well, what's the O? It's not even an acronym. Binary large object?
Yeah. Blob, B, binary. Yes. L, yes. Large, OB, object.
Oh, okay. Yes. Blob, I was
binary large
wrong.
Objects. Yeah. So a blob is a binary large object, as in all blobs are exactly the same size.
Yes.
There is, like, I can't remember the actual specific size. But some, when they are created by like Optimus or Arbitrum or whatever, the actual blob data is less than the size of a blob. And so what do? They pad it with zeros to become a binary large object blob.
A binary large, I'm just not going to remember that. Is that okay if I don't remember that ever again? I just know that blobs,
it's cool.
Hold
RL2. That's a cool fun fact. Why wouldn't you remember that?
Because, David, I'm done with being a nerd, okay? I just want to buy meme coins now.
All right.
I'd choose rich.
Oh, my God. Okay, so you're hanging out on Base then. Because if you like blobs and meme coins, you go to Base.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it going to be Base season? Is that where we're getting to?
I think there is a crescendoing of Base season. Yes, correct.
This is the Base daily revenue versus active users here. I've got this on from Token Terminal, and it looks like a straight line up.
Speaking of cool. MEV bots come from retail people who are trading meme coins, Base is experiencing the same thing. The difference is Base doesn't have any failed transactions.
Well, you had to say that. The whole episode, is it going to be like this?
It's true.
Okay. Not on the Bankless, the Bonkless podcast. Right. Okay, can we go back to the L2 fees, though? Because I really care a lot about this. And I did a long update last week on L2 fees. How are they this week? Are they still down, or are we increasing in price?
Transactions are free on layer twos. They are basically free. They are before both Optimism and Arbitrum. They are below a penny for a simple send. Yeah. For Uniswap trade, they are a whopping one penny.
How about our ZK EVMs? Pretty cheap, too. 2 cents?
They have some improvement to do. ZK Sync is by far the cheapest because it is both a ZK rollup and a blob consumer. People are excited about ZK Sync these days because Alex, founder of ZK Sync, tweeted out, now that we are consuming blobs, it's time to focus on decentralization and decentralizing ZK Sync to the community. I think it not memes. No. Memes later.
Okay.
I think everyone understands what that means.
Oh, I can read between the lines. Yeah, I understand that. Last thing to drive by, David, is assets. So we got a lot of assets on Ethereum, the layer one, and they need to move somewhere else. At least if you are a small user, if you're not a whale, if you're not a chain consuming Ethereum block space, it's going to be really expensive to continue using ETH layer one block space. So we got to move these assets, move these users over to the layer twos. How's that going?
Pretty damn good, Ryan. We are all-time highs in TVL on layer twos, and especially the flows since the start of 2024 into layer twos have been like pretty damn gargantuan. Just like, look at this chart. For the podcast listeners that can't see the chart, imagine the chart emoji on iOS that's going up and to the right. That's what TVL looks like on layer twos, moving from Ethereum layer one. Since January, it's been like, it went from like 12 billion to we are just over 25 billion. So like a doubling in the last like 2 or 3 months.
There you go. That migration will continue. I think during the rest of the cycle, at least in 2024, 2025, ETH users who remember transacting on layer one with still assets on layer one are still going to be upset that it's so expensive. It's just kind of like Manhattan's expensive, and now Ethereum's asking everybody to move to the suburbs, and like it's kind of a pain to move, to be honest. So I think there's going to be that overhang for the next like 12 months or so for Ethereum users.
Yeah, for entrenched users, all of the newcomers into the Ethereum ecosystem are going straight from Coinbase to Base. And like we've seen that flow of users, and that's why like Base transactions or Base wallet addresses are like just up only. And they're not going to know anything about the Ethereum layer one. The layer one, if you didn't know, Ryan, is lava. Don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Don't go there.
Don't touch layer one. It's too expensive. Yeah. What do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, happy FOMC day to those who celebrate. Where are the rates going? Are they going up? They're going down. We're going to talk about that. BlackRock is on chain with their new Buildle fund. We'll talk about what that actually stands for. That actually does stand for something. BlackRock just doing some casual on-chain security issuance on Ethereum compliantly. That's what they're doing. Speaking of securities, is the Ethereum Foundation getting investigated? We'll talk about that and more. But first, a moment to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible. Also, the place I prefer to trade my meme coins on Kraken. If you do not have an account with Kraken, consider clicking the links in the show notes to getting started with Kraken today. If you want a crypto trading experience backed by world-class security and award-winning support teams, then head over to Kraken, one of the longest-standing and most secure crypto platforms in the world. Kraken is on a journey to build a more accessible, inclusive, and fair financial system, making it simple and secure for everyone, everywhere, to trade crypto. Kraken's intuitive trading tools are designed to grow with you, empowering you to make your first or your 100th trade in just a few clicks. And there's an award-winning client support team available 24/7 to help you along the way, along with a whole range of educational guides, articles, and videos. With products and features like Kraken Pro and Kraken NFT Marketplace and a seamless app to bring it all together, it's really the perfect place to get your complete crypto experience. So check out the simple, secure, and powerful way for everyone to trade crypto, whether you're a complete beginner or a seasoned pro. Go to kraken.com/bankless to see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss.
It's everyone's favorite season in crypto, tax season. And crypto tax is always an absolute headache, especially for all you degens out there. But it doesn't have to be a nightmare. That's where Crypto Tax Calculator comes in, the software built for degens by degens. As Coinbase's official global tax partner, Crypto Tax Calculator focuses on making complex transactions into easy ones, supporting over 300,000 currencies across Ethereum, Arbitrum, Optimism, as well as 1,000 other integrations as well. It's as simple as connecting your wallet, pulling in all your transactions, and following the automated suggestions to quickly and accurately calculate your tax obligations. Plus, for all the airdrop farmers out there, Crypto Tax Calculator has your back as they are consistently adding support for new and upcoming layer ones, layer twos, and all the airdrops that you're currently farming. 2024 is the year when the degens do their crypto taxes with speed and confidence. Make taxes this year easy and affordable with Crypto Tax Calculator. Sign up at CryptoTaxCalculator.io and get a 30% discount with code BANK30. Click the link in the show notes for more information. Celo is the mobile-first, EVM-compatible, carbon-negative blockchain built for the real world. Driving real-world use cases like mobile payments and mobile DeFi, and with Opera MiniPay as one of the fastest-growing Web3 wallets, Celo is seeing a meteoric rise with over 300 million transactions and 1.5 million monthly active addresses. And now, Celo is looking to come home to Ethereum as a layer 2. Optimism, Polygon, Matter Labs, and Arbitrum have all thrown their hats in the ring for the Celo layer 2 to build upon their stacks. Why the competition? The Celo Layer 2 will bring huge advantages like a decentralized sequencer, off-chain data availability secured by Ethereum validators, and one-block finality. What does that all mean for you? With Celo Layer 2, gas fees will stay low, and you can even pay for gas natively using ERC20 tokens, sending crypto to phone numbers across wallets using Social Connect. But Celo is a community-governed protocol. This means that Celo needs you to weigh in and make your voice heard. Join the conversation in the Celo forums, follow Celo on Twitter, and visit Celo.org to shape the future of Ethereum.
Quick Fed Watch update here, just because we got to know what the central bankers are doing. So there was a Fed meeting this week. That's the FOMC meeting. They meet and they decide what rates are going to be. And Jerome Powell says, we are going to hold rates steady. So steady the ship. They forecasted about 3 rate cuts to come in the year. So not up, David. Steady for now.
Okay.
And then rate cuts later. This is going to, of course, depend a lot on inflation. But Powell says inflation's not so bad. So he says the recent uptick in inflation, we talked about that last week, is above like 3%, is just a bump in the road. Hasn't changed the overall story. So he takes the two of these things together and he says inflation is moving down gradually. Sometimes the road is bumpy, but we're moving towards 2%. So that's the plan. Markets reacted favorably, at least risk-on assets reacted favorably to this because there was nothing hawkish, right? It's kind of like as expected. And there was also talk of stopping quantitative tightening. They've been doing some quantitative tightening just kind of in the background. And if you stop quantitative tightening, does that mean you need to restore some liquidity and some measure of QE? That's also in the air. A lot of this, of course, though, depends on inflation, right? Mm-hmm. Like what happens next? So are we going to drop back down towards 2%? There's like a couple different directions that this could go. And Lynn Alden points out that inflation has been mildly reaccelerating so far over the past several months. And if it persists like that, Mm-hmm. If we continue on that reacceleration, it would start to result in headline inflation numbers, those numbers that Powell doesn't like going up, right? So we could go drop down towards like 2%, and that would make Powell happy, and they would continue the plan of cutting rates. Or if it spikes up, if we get, again, 3%, 4%, that starts hitting the headlines, then he'll be pressured to maybe hold rates constant or increase rates.
I think that the game for the Fed right now is trying to figure out how to get okay with a higher than baseline 2% inflation and not feel like that's a loss for the Fed. Like, inflation is going to be a thing. It's going to be a thing way more than it's ever been before. A solid 4% of regular inflation, it seems like the new equilibrium, except if the Fed admits that and they say, like, you know what, we previously targeted 2, but now we're fine with targeting 4, is going to look like a huge L for the Fed. But that's also what they need to do. So I think that's kind of going to be the dance for the Fed over the next like 18 months.
Yeah, we'll see.
I listen to macro podcasts. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Then I trust you. They haven't capitulated on that 2% number, but maybe that's inevitable,
they haven't,
as you
they
say.
Haven't cosmetically presented capitulation on the 2%, but internally they're like, it's going to stay higher than 2%.
Can we talk about the most exciting thing in my mind that happened last week, David? This meme? Is absolutely
massive. We already talked about meme coins.
No, it's not meme coins. Oh, it's okay. Even better than meme coins. Okay, this is BlackRock tokenizing on Ethereum. Oof. Ethereum mainnet, Manhattan.
Hot.
Yes. Hot. This happened this week, and that hit the headlines. They saw we saw a contract deployed. We saw an SEC filing, and crypto Twitter was kind of trying to scramble around to find out what this meant. Well, here's what it means. This is official PR from BlackRock. BlackRock launches its first tokenized fund, Biddle, on the Ethereum network. Tell us about this.
Okay, so Biddle actually stands for BlackRock USD Institutional Digital Liquidity Fund.
Are you
fund.
Serious?
That's what it means. It means Biddle. Yeah. So like Biddle
they
is
started with Biddle and then worked their way backwards, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, probably. For those who don't know what Biddle is, it is a play on the word build. I think this came out of John Pollard and ETH Denver. ETH Denver kind of like invoked this as like their meme.
What's an
like,
Ethereum mean? That was a derivative from HODL.
From HODL, yeah. So like the ancient HODL meme that came from like the drunk Bitcoiner in 2013 who bought the top of the 2013 Bitcoin bubble. And then he was like, I am HODLing on the Bitcoin talk forums. Then Ethereum comes along. And then instead of HODL, we have Biddle because we're a community of builders. And then now we have BlackRock.
BlackRock tapping into meme culture, though.
Into
Ethereum,
meme culture,
like,
yeah.
Culture. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, so BNY Mellon is the custodian. What is going on here? It's a tokenized treasury. Tokenized treasuries on Ethereum. There is a whitelist with this, so you have to be an accredited investor. So this is an ERC-20 token with a whitelist that you have to be manually approved by BlackRock. Minimum investment, $5 million. The way that this works is actually really, really cool. So the Biddle token is going to be worth $1. But since it is an on-chain treasury product, it pays accrued dividends directly to investor wallets every single month. So the
really?
Yield that it gets from the treasuries, underlying yield, yes.
Yeah.
So it's like a stable coin. It is a stable coin.
Sure.
It's worth $1, but it will pay holders at the end of the month its pro rata share of yield that it got from being a T-bill in the back.
So my 5% annualized amount, it'll pay me in that. To my Ethereum address.
Yes, if you put in a $5 million minimum.
Okay, well, yeah. I'm not going to do that. I'm too busy gambling all of my funds on meme coins, as you know.
Yes, proud of you. Proud of you.
DC Investor says, one thing notable about the new BlackRock fund on Ethereum, this isn't like old LARPs by governments who put some notional debt security on chain. I've seen a lot of that. Mm-hmm. This is the world's largest asset manager actually putting $100 million in USDC on the Ethereum blockchain. Huge.
So as an industry, we have had these like enterprise blockchain conversations. These institutions are coming, this tokenization of everything. We've had these conferences and podcasts all about the subject for like a decade now.
Yes.
And this is it. This is finally happening. This is a tokenization of an off-chain security inside of an ERC-20 token by the world's largest asset manager that pays monthly dividends to token holders, to security holders, to investors. The cool thing is like that imagine like say this grows into like 10,000 holders, 10,000 people own, like, you, the minimum investment is $5 million, but then you can go and, like, sell it. And so you can have less than $5 million. You just have to be on the whitelist. So, like, say they whitelist, like, 10,000 people, and then BlackRock is spitting out dividends to these 10,000 people on the Ethereum layer one. BlackRock's going to be burning, like, a nice amount of ETH.
Oh, thanks, BlackRock.
Thanks, BlackRock.
My validator thanks you.
Really proud of you guys.
This is actually, may I remind folks as well, this is actually the world's largest asset manager. Mm-hmm. $9 trillion.
They own the planet.
They started with 100 million. They have more. I'll just say that. They have more. They can increase this over time. This is BlackRock paying 5.2 cents to move $100 million. Probably nothing. By the way, 5 cents on $100 million is actually pretty cheap. So if you are a smaller user, not a whale, and you're using Ethereum mainnet, and you're saying $5 to do this Uniswap transaction, yeah, or $10 or whatever, you're like, that's expensive. And I don't blame you. Mm-hmm. That's what layer two is for. For BlackRock, want this
the layer one is for BlackRock.
Ethereum main chain security, right? And you're fine paying $5 for that. It's like worth it to you. The security is worth it to you. The uptime is worth it to you. Being on Ethereum plugged into all of the liquidity sources is worth it to you. So that's what I think increasingly main chain will be for large banks, whales, other chains to settle on. They're kind of moving in. They're like making Manhattan. They're building the skyscrapers in Manhattan. That's what's going on here.
Can I tell you my favorite part about the story? There's many favorite parts about the story, but here's my favorite one.
Tell me your favorite. You just sent me this link, so...
So the BlackRock Buildle token is open. Like, people found it. Like, you can go look at it. People know what it is. And since we are in an open, public, permissionless ecosystem, people have been sending assets to the BlackRock-owned smart contract because they know BlackRock owns and operates the smart contract. So this is a BlackRock-owned address. Now we know what it is. So people are sending all of their meme coins into the BlackRock address. And so BlackRock now owns some Shib Inu, a bunch of just like absolute shit coins. Somebody sent BlackRock a crypto dick butt. So BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, is a holder of one crypto dick butt. Congrats to BlackRock. Fantastic investment. The other thing that's happened, Ryan, you know when everyone got dusted via Tornado Cash?
I do know that. Yep. I think I was on that list somewhere.
Do you wonder where this is going?
BlackRock got dusted. Here's the transaction.
Yeah. So BlackRock has to now file the same report that you and I have to file every single year for the rest of our lives because they violated OFAC sanctions.
Oh, I didn't file that report. Did you file that report?
I did. So you're supposed to do it every single year. I did it for the first year, but I'm not doing it for the rest of my life. So I am actually...
Wait, you did it?
Yeah, I did it. Well, because my lawyers told me to because I'm suing Janet Yellen.
Okay. Well, yeah. I didn't.
So you and I are actually both sanctioned individuals now because we're not lawfully reporting to FinCEN that we are
dusted. It wasn't me. Like, I didn't do anything. Yeah. Like, somebody dropped this in my mailbox. Like, I can't. But now they're dropping it in BlackRock's mailbox.
Yeah, so they either... BlackRock has violated FinCEN. Nice job, guys.
A good way to get hazed in crypto, I think, is getting some NFT memes and some Tornado Cash dusting, I guess. Let's end this where we start, which is bullish. BlackRock launching a yield-bearing stablecoin on Ethereum is still one of the most bullish things to ever happen in crypto. And the market has definitely not digested this yet.
Nope.
Bullish ETH. Nope. It's Anthony Sassano there.
The fundamentals are too good for this to be priced into the market. Like, it doesn't work. Speaking of getting hazed, Ethereum Foundation getting investigated by the SEC. Did you hear about this?
I did. And in fact, it kind of scared me when I saw this. Here's the headline from Fortune Crypto. SEC probing crypto companies and Ethereum investigation as hopes for ETF dim. Okay, and there's speculation here. Look at this. This is the first paragraph of Fortune. The Securities and Exchange Commission is waging an energetic legal campaign to classify Ethereum, the second most popular cryptocurrency, as a security, according to U.S. companies that have received subpoenas related to an investigation. Wow, David. That sounds like Gary Gensler's going for it. He's like, you can't defeat me. I'm invincible. Ethereum is actually a security. Get ready. And tell us what the genesis for this SEC probe of the Ethereum Foundation was.
Yeah, so the Ethereum Foundation was sent a voluntary inquiry from a state authority that included a requirement for confidentiality, which was apparently added to a GitHub commit in February of this year. So people are seeing this GitHub commit. They're seeing the request of information, this voluntary request of information to the Ethereum Foundation, which is a Switzerland entity, by the way. And then people are jumping to the conclusion of Gary Gensler and the SEC is going after ETH as a security, which is like, there's a pretty big like leap in logic there.
Yeah. And you say people, it's not just people, it's journalists. It's apparently Fortune Crypto. I saw Niraj from Coin Center tweet this and just be like, I don't know where this is coming from. This article is coming from Fortune at all. None of these facts are really substantiated. There's no evidence that there's investigation underway or that the SEC somehow thinks that Ethereum is a security and is going for them. The thing, though, is with any good narrative, there's some plausibility to it. We all know Gary hates crypto. We all know he has not said like publicly in front of Congress when asked specifically if Ethereum is a security or not, if he could clarify, he's refused to answer that question in any coherent way, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a sense that he got some heat for approving the Bitcoin ETF, and maybe he wants to reverse that. So that's why I think this narrative takes hold.
So instead of amateurs completely speculating as to whether or not this is real or not, let's actually like talk to the lawyers who know a thing or two. Like you said, Niraj commented on this, but like here's Mike Selig, who we've had him on the podcast before, a very smart lawyer, saying it's extremely common for crypto protocol foundations to receive voluntary requests for information from federal and state regulators, and subpoenas are about as sure as the sunrise for a crypto entity. And so Mike is saying, yeah, this is more or less par for the course. Paul Graywall, the chief legal officer over at Coinbase, he tweeted out, sigh, again with the ETH misinformation as we await a decision on the ETH ETPs, the exchange traded products ETF. And then he goes like, okay, let's talk about some basic facts about Ethereum. Millions of Americans hold ETH. It's been vital to crypto since 2015 launch. And ETH is a commodity, not a security. The SEC has taken this position for years. And then he just lists and cites in like events that have happened over the last 5+
like,
years.
All like the lawyer ways, style.
Loyal He's being lawyer like, style. Like,
exhibit A, right. Exhibit B, exhibit C, right? All of the all of this evidence.
He's basically saying it's absolutely futile for anyone to try and claim that ETH is a security. Like this whole ETH is a security conversation, which has been a theme for like way too long, is like some of the dumbest stuff that we have to address very frequently on the weekly rollup.
Well, I think one big reason for this is people don't realize, and this is maybe we'll end this section with this and try to dispel what I think we both think is FUD. This is from Ryan Quintenz, who is formerly on the CFTC. He was a commissioner for the commodities future exchange in the U.S. He said this, a reminder, when the SEC allowed ETH futures, by the way, they did. This was several months ago. Was it back in October, David? Mm-hmm. When they allowed these ETH futures to trade on its regulated securities exchange, it explicitly acknowledged the status of ETH as being a non-security outside of its jurisdiction. We have ETH futures that are trading right now, and that in itself, the fact that that has happened, the fact that that has been approved by the SEC means the SEC has already stated that ETH is a commodity and not a security. Like, it's already done.
We have every single assurance under the sun that ETH is a commodity, except for the words coming out of Gary Gensler's mouth himself. Everything else we have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And by the way, when I said futures, I'm talking, this is a futures ETF.
Yes.
There's an Ethereum ETF.
There's already an Ethereum ETF.
An Ethereum futures ETF. Yes. Brian Quintenz again. If the SEC had any doubt about the regulatory treatment of the ETH in October 2023, it wouldn't have approved the ETH ETF. That is the ETH futures ETF that exists. If ETH were in fact a security, then the CFTC listed futures contracts as well would also be illegal. Yep. It's kind of a done deal. Even
it's
if Gary wanted to,
done.
He can't at this point
without an
act of Congress.
And importantly, like we don't know what is in that subpoena, but like it's not, it's most likely has nothing to do with ETH as it being a security. It has to do with something else, probably.
Well, I mean, let's flip to the good news. Maybe the SEC is reviewing all of BlackRock and the other submitters' ETH ETF, spot ETF.
Oh, I like this. I like this conspiracy. I'm
asking
this one.
A couple of questions. So optimistically, they are taking those application submissions for an Ethereum spot ETF seriously, and they have some like finishing touch questions from the Ethereum Foundation.
Because of the
see how ETF? I spin that?
Yeah, I love that.
You like
I
that narrative?
This is the SEC just like doing regular information gathering for the eventual approval of the spot ETH ETF. This is the most valid conspiracy that I've heard this week.
Yeah, well, that's because it's bullish and you like that one. I mean, that's what I mean. We're all kind of speculating and we do not know, but I would not, you cannot translate this to say that the SEC is trying to turn Ethereum into a security.
Yeah, people just have like this knee-jerk reaction to ETH as a security and then everything, like everyone loses their mind on Twitter. Anyways, let's check in on the ETH ETF actual news because some news happened this week specifically about the ETH ETF in May. Both Fidelity and Grayscale this week amended their filing with the SEC to include staking. So there is an option for these ETFs to be staked ETH ETFs. I don't think it's forcing it into being a staked ETH ETF. It's starting as vanilla.
Adding some detail. Yeah.
But they're opening up the door. They're adding a door inside of their own filing where in the future they can go through that door and that door is a staked ETH ETF. And so both Fidelity and Grayscale updated their amendments this week, their filings this week.
Yeah, I thought that was bullish at first. And in a way, it is bullish, but it's not necessarily bullish that we'll get the Ethereum ETF by May,
which is
the next deadline. And James Seifert from Bloomberg has a take here. My cautiously optimistic attitude for ETH ETFs has changed from recent months. We now believe these will ultimately be denied on May 23rd for this round. The SEC just hasn't engaged with issuers on Ethereum specifics. And basically, everyone is saying, the people in the know are saying that if the SEC was going to approve the Ethereum ETFs in May, they would have engaged more deeply with the issuers on the specifics. And there's none of that activity that they see. So that kind of the default, what's likely going to happen is they're going to be denied in May.
Are you ready for a conspiracy on that one? Because I heard one that I really, really liked this week. Yeah. So the reason why there's not engagement between the SEC and the ETH ETF filings and the issuers is because we already have the Bitcoin ETF approved and the ETH ETFs are basically carbon copies of the Bitcoin ETF. And so why do they need to engage? They've already did their engagement with the Bitcoin ETF. Since they're just carbon copies, the SEC is like, oh, you guys are the same things. Just come right on in.
Have
stamp
a chance
of approval. Please become and be an ETF. That's what's going on.
Well, I mean, that would be great if that's what's happening. And there's always a chance, right? There's a chance. And I think James would acknowledge that as well. I will say, David, you and I did a fantastic podcast with Matt Hogan from Bitwise.
Mm-hmm. And Ryan Rasmussen.
Yes. And he had a take and he was actually, I won't spoil it. Listen to the episode next week.
He gives his estimation
on a probability of the ETH ETF getting approved sometime this year. And he gives another hopeful date for that. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, the first LRT in the Eigenlayer ecosystem, the Liquid Restaking token, drops its airdrop, coming in at a whopping $3 billion valuation. Is this the starting pistol for all the other future LRT token drops? I think so. We're also going to check in on CZ. What's CZ up to? What's he doing over there? And then lastly, another judge accused the SEC from acting in bad faith. Surprise, surprise. We're going to get to all of that and more, but first we're going to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible, especially Mantle, our preferred layer 2 for getting all the yield. Check out Mantle. There's a link in the show notes. Mantle, formerly known as BitDAO, is the first DAO-led Web3 ecosystem, all built on top of Mantle's first core product, the Mantle Network, a brand new high-performance Ethereum layer 2 built using the OP stack, but uses Eigenlayer's data availability solution instead of the expensive Ethereum layer 1. Not only does this reduce Mantle Network's gas fees by 80%, but it also reduces gas fee volatility, providing a more stable foundation for Mantle's applications. The Mantle Treasury is one of the biggest DAO-owned treasuries, which is seeded an ecosystem of projects from all around the Web3 space for Mantle. Mantle already has sub-communities from around Web3 onboarded, like Game7 for Web3 gaming, and Bybit for TVL and Liquidity and OnRamps. So if you want to build on the Mantle network, Mantle is offering a grants program that provides milestone-based funding to promising projects that help expand, secure, and decentralize Mantle. If you want to get started working with the first DAO-led Layer 2 ecosystem, check out Mantle at mantle.xyz and follow them on Twitter at @0xmantle.
Uniswap is revolutionizing the DeFi space, not just by enabling swaps, but by empowering you to swap smarter with a comprehensive suite of products for faster, safer, and more informed swapping. Say goodbye to pop-up wallet extensions. The Uniswap extension is coming soon, and this extension is not a pop-up. It is a sidebar in your browser that persists no matter where you are on the web. This means you can swap, sign, or send and receive crypto anytime, anywhere, without obstructing your browser window. But that's not all. The Uniswap web app now features limit orders, so you can buy and sell any token at your price on your terms without having to watch the market. And the best part, limit orders are built on Uniswap X, which means no gas fees. Also new to the web app is the data and insights pages with real-time candlestick charts, price data, transaction logs, and detailed pool data, all integrated into the Uniswap web app. All of these new releases come together to create one platform to help you swap smarter every time, no matter where you are, on web, mobile, or on the extension. Click the link in the show notes to sign up for the extension waitlist and download the mobile app. Start swapping smarter with Uniswap.
Are you launching a token? Is it already live? How are you managing the legal and tax obligations for providing token grants to your team? It's no secret that token management gets complicated. Between learning all the legal language and tax obligations in every country that your team is in, token grant management can feel like an obstacle course, but it doesn't have to. That's where Toku steps in. Toku provides practical tools to handle token grants, allowing for effective oversight of token distributions and payroll tax compliance for employees, contractors, advisors, and investors. They also handle tax withholdings through their real-time tax calculations that can be done by Toku or integrated into any payroll EOR providers in any jurisdiction. Toku is a trusted provider of Protocol Labs, DYDX Foundation, Mina Protocol, and many more. Get started for free and make token compensation simple at toku.com/bankless.
EtherFi launches their DAO, aka launches their token. Same. Some quick hits. This launched on the 18th. The airdrop is now live. Claim.ether.fi. Also link in the show notes. 6% of the total supply of the token is being airdropped in this particular airdrop. They're calling that season one. 5% more will be airdropped in season two, along with a bunch of other innovations that they are launching. They also hinted at their own layer two. This is not the first LRT to have their own native layer two. That seems to be the meta. Total supply, 1 billion tokens, 668 million ETH-Fi was airdropped this season. Currently coming in at $4. So yeah, $4 billion. Who was eligible if you held ETH or wrapped ETH and or inside of a pool in a Pendle pool? You were getting all of these points, early adopter program, blah, 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 all this good stuff. Basically, if you had EtherFi points, you kind of know. Snapshot was taken on March 15th. So 11% of the total supply airdrop to users, 6% in this first initial airdrop. Closing window, you need to claim by June 18th of this year. So it's a relatively small window.
This is me and the Gary Gensler firewall here. The points police do not allow you to use the platform from this location. Anyone in the U.S. is restricted from picking up that airdrop, David. So
I really wish some project, when they have this page, just has a Gary Gensler wagging his finger. Why can we get on that on one of those?
Can we get this?
Yeah,
we need this. Okay, so EtherFi, the first restaking token, and it's like a pretty big in terms of. How big is this? You said billions? Is it over $3 billion?
$4 billion.
How big is Lido? How big is Rocket Pool?
Less than $4 billion.
How does that work? How does that make sense?
New charts, buddy. New charts.
New charts?
New charts. They're up.
New tokens?
Yep. Stop asking smart questions. Only ask dumb questions.
This is the first of many LRT drops that we will see. And again, this is liquid restaking token. So this is all based on kind of like if you've been following the Eigenlayer meta, which is you take your ETH, you stake it, and then you stake it again. And that's what EtherFi is actually doing. It's creating a tokenized way to restake tokens for all sorts of applications that have not been built yet, but that are in progress. I mean, we're seeing a lot of them, but they have not come to market yet. And this is all kind of the speculation that's going on, but the first of many, opportunities.
Swell, Kelp, Renzo, God, there's so many that they'll go on. And then once all the LRTs drop, then we get the AVSs. Eventually we'll get Eigen itself. I think it's just going to be really good to be a restaker. This is instead of playing in meme coin degeneracy, my strategy has always been just put your ETH in Eigenlayer. Capture 17 different airdrops. Well, yeah. It's more simple. I'm a busy
more simple.
Dude. I got a podcast to record. I can't be trading meme coins.
The best thing about this is you get to keep your ETH. You don't have to sell your ETH.
You get to keep your ETH. It's ETH denominated.
But you are taking on some risk. I'll say this.
Smart contract risk. Yeah.
But
opportunity cost. Yeah. All that good stuff.
You know who also did really well on this, David, is the almost 10,000 bankless citizens who qualified for this airdrop. Do you know why they qualified, David? Because they listened to bankless.
Because we've been hella early to the LRT eigenlayer ecosystem.
Yes. And they use the airdrop hunter. They use the bankless airdrop hunter. They plug their address into Claimable so they know they got this and they received it. I actually think the average citizen got like something like $3,500.
Oh, you got to pump those numbers up, buddy.
EtherFi?
The average bankless citizen got $4,500 worth of EtherFi. That's 1,100 EtherFi tokens. The average EtherFi airdrop was a little over $3,000. If you're a bankless citizen, you got $4,500 because you have the alpha from the bankless airdrop hunter.
Oh my God, how do I become a citizen? Tell me.
How much does it cost? The link in the show notes, Ryan, and bankless.com/join. It pays for itself. It's $20 a month. It pays for itself.
Just $20? More than pays for itself. Like, 22. Do that ROI, man. That's like 100x. It's better than gambling on meme coins.
Yeah, that's right. So EtherFi is not just a token, of course. They also have three other products. Stake, Liquid, and Cash is going to be built over the next 12 to 24 months. Cash is a layer two. So a layer two for payments. And like I said, actually, like a good handful of LRTs have layer two plans. Swell announced their layer two. We talked about that last week. Puffer's going to do a layer two.
Zerion doing a layer two? Wallets?
Unrelated to LRTs, Zerion's doing a layer two.
We're going to have so many layer twos.
Yeah. We're not enough. We never have enough layer twos.
David, do we ever have enough CryptoPunk high value sales for you?
No.
This is a CryptoPunk that just sold for $16.4 million. And I'm told, actually this tweet says, it's the second highest on-chain punk sale ever. So are punks coming back? Are NFTs on Ethereum making a comeback? Are we going to see that this bull cycle? Or are they just, is it just meme coins?
If this feels like deja vu, this is because this also happened last week. Another different alien punk was sold for a similar amount. So alien punks are definitely moving. This happened last cycle. Like a bunch of alien and ape punks were bought, and then like the punk floors started to move.
Alien because its face is blue, yeah? Is that what makes it blue skin?
It makes it an alien. So if the pixels are blue, they're worth more. That's the rule.
Yeah, that's the rule. Why? Yeah. Why is that the rule? Because we all decided that's the rule.
Stop asking smart questions. Only ask dumb questions.
Actually, maybe like that's the secret to this bull market is just like be a little dumber.
Only be dumb.
Speaking of dumb, David, the SEC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a
Utah judge finding the SEC engaging in bad faith conduct. Bad faith conduct. Okay, so this was another SEC court case that was kind of like on the side, you probably didn't hear about, with a company called DebtBox. Okay, this is a crypto company called the DebtBox. Actually, I had never heard of them before. It's a crypto firm.
Kind of a scary name.
I don't want a DebtBox. In the ruling of the DebtBox versus the SEC, the judge placed sanctions on the SEC for, I'll quote here, abuse of judicial process.
And ordered them to pay the legal fees of DebtBox. Wow. And denied its motion to dismiss the charges. Wow.
Meaning that is a smackdown.
It can't file the same charges at a later date. Yikes. Big ol' smackdown. And a fine. Smackdown and fine.
And a fine. From a regulator. By the way, wasting our money.
Those are our taxes. Sick.
Yeah, those are our taxes. Like, you and I paid for some of that.
Sick.
What do the crypto lawyers say?
That the SEC is dumb and bad. Austin Campbell says the SEC lied in court and then doubled down after the judge noticed. He says, why would any American trust the SEC and believe that they act in good faith after this? Paul Graywall says, worst of all, guess who pays the sanctions? You, me, every U.S. taxpayer.
So look, I don't know all the details of this case, but basically the SEC took this company, the DebtBox, to court for, quote unquote, selling unregistered securities as usual. That's kind of their typical charge. And this is what the court determined. This constitutes a gross abuse of power entrusted to it by Congress and substantially undermined the integrity of these proceedings and the judicial process. David, I saw other crypto lawyers saying that basically this is like almost like quasi criminal behavior from like it's just lying in court. And this is what the court case determined. And even despite all this bad faith activity, we would still have Gary Gensler on the podcast. I can say that. I want to extend an invite to anyone listening. Gary. If you know Gary.
Gary.
Come on, Bankless. Let's just talk. Just have a conversation.
Just come in and get on the podcast.
Yeah, just come in.
Just come on in.
Come on in and talk.
Okay,
just want a conversation.
We know that Gary doesn't want to talk to us. I'm just can only assume.
We got a plan B.
Have we tried Bob Gensler, his identical twin? We don't know what stance is on Bankless, Bonkless. Do you think he would come on the Bonkless podcast?
I think he might. Not Bankless, but he might come on Bonkless. This is actually Bob Gensler, who is apparently Gary's twin. Yep. He's actually, according to reports, pro-crypto. This is a true story.
So is old Gary Gensler, was also pro-crypto.
Yeah, it's true. But Bob was the guy who actually introduced Gary to crypto.
So Bob's first the cool introduced twin. Me. He's the cool brother.
Open invitation to Bob Gensler. Bob Gensler. If we can't get Gary.
Bob. Come on.
He's probably a listener.
Come on the show.
You know who's someone else I want to talk to you too is this guy, CZ. Remember CZ from Binance?
Yeah, I saw this. This makes me so happy. Okay, so CZ is doing a new thing. Since he can't do anything in crypto because he's charged or whatever, he's doing another project because he's a serial entrepreneur who can't sit still like the rest of us. Giggle Academy. Free basic education for everyone. No revenue, he says. Gamified adaptive. GiggleAcademy.com, they are hiring. CZ is going to redo education, which, like, I think this is so cool. Like, CZ, like, one of the greatest builders of all time, like, undoubtedly, is now going into the world of education, which definitely needs to be, like, redone, especially now that we have AI. And so CZ, to me, like, CZ was always, like, kind of chaotic neutral. This is CZ on his good guy arc.
This
man.
Is a nonprofit, right?
Maybe.
All good.
I don't know.
It's a nonprofit. It is. I'm saying that.
Hell yeah.
It's a public good. It's a nonprofit.
CZ's going to fix education the same way that he fixed centralized exchanges in crypto in 2017 when he started Binance.
I just have one question for you, David.
Yeah.
Will it be tokenized?
You shut the hell up.
If it's not, I'm not interested.
You shut. Get the tokens out of children's education.
Sorry. I'm just going wild.
They're too young for the memes.
All right, David, let's end this thing. First with a shout-out.
One more thing.
Hold on, what?
Bankless is hiring.
Oh, yes.
If you want to edit out all of this shit that we say that we need you to edit out because of all the stuff that gets trimmed in this podcast, we need you to do that, along with all the other things that takes to produce a podcast. If you are a good video editor, audio editor, you know how to manage Twitter, and you are also deep Bankless, you know what it means to go Bankless. We want to hire you to edit our podcast and all the other stuff that comes with it. Literally the most fun team in crypto.
I think it's a blast. It's great.
You have the chillest bosses. Just ask the rest of the company. It's the best place to work.
Yeah, one of them is more chill than the other.
Definitely more chill than the other. That's for sure.
You don't have to guess.
You don't know. You don't got to guess.
No one knows. This is, in case it wasn't clear, a podcast video editor. That's what we need for media operations. You can apply. There's a link in the show notes, of course. So we need your help. Can you get this roll up under an hour?
Can you get the host to shut the hell up?
All right, let's end with meme of the week. Here we are. We are looking at a van. What is this?
You gave it the perfect name, so you have to actually explain this one.
This is the pre-sale van, okay? This is a grimy, dirty-looking white van that you should absolutely not get into. And the compelling thing about this...
But it says pre-sale on it.
It says pre-sale. So come on over, kids. Get in the pre-sale van. We just want to give you some tokens. Going for a quick ride. My God.
Oh, get everyone in the pre-sale van. We can fit a lot of people in there.
The caption is how to get a degen into a van, and all you have to do is put pre-sale on the side of it. It doesn't matter what it looks pre-sale. Like. All right. End with this. Risks and disclaimers. Guys, of course, crypto is
pre-sales,
risky.
Pre-sales, very risky.
So are vans, white vans in parking lots like this. You could lose what you put in, but we are headed west. This is the frontier. It's not for everyone, but we're glad you're with us on the Bonkless journey. Thanks a lot.